Mini episode 346 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by Sportsology, delivering unconventional columns and webcasts about sports, TV, music, movies, and more. Follow them on the web at sportsology.info.
The FDH Lounge. You want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to FDH Lounge. Mini episode number 346. FDH Lounge dignitaries Rick Morris and Kyle Ross are coming at you to break down NFL Week 12, reflecting on Week 11 for my picks, 6-6-3 overall. Number of pushes last week, kind of weird as far as that went. 2-0-1 on my big three, 0-0-1. So a push on my lock for the week, bringing me to 75-79-8 for the season. A pretty good rally when you consider how far down I was at the outset. But the other numbers show you how far the hole is that I'm digging out of. 12-20 on my big three for the year, 3-7-1 for the season. Things not going very well for my cohort Kyle Ross last week. I am going to gloss as best as I can on that and say nothing but a fist of misery there. And that's all I'm going to say about that. You like how I glossed over that, Kyle? I'm not going to.
Yeah, you know, 0-5-1 going by the lines we're using on our show. Now, I'll say this, if you, by the time you listen to the show, and if you bet San Francisco, you probably won because that moved to 3.5 most shops. But the bottom line is I was sitting in front of my TV, very sulky, sending you a barrage of angry texts about really anything that was going on in the world. Just one quote kept repeating in my head, and that is, Hulk Hogan was never a beaten man. Hulk Hogan was only a cheated man. So that's what I used to freshen myself up with, and I'm back at it for another week, and we're going to get it all back this week.
Yes, we are. And again, I was trying to cheer you up with some of the texts I was sending back. I was getting nowhere. You weren't popping for any of my lines. I knew you were.
Oh no, I wasn't. I was angry. I'll tell you what. Yeah. I would say around 6:30 last Sunday. I don't know the last time I was that angry, really.
Yeah.
I can't think of it. Was I fired up. I mean, I was threatening. I was walking on the street just threatening to wrestle somebody. I mean, it was. it got ugly over in my neck of the woods. But like I said, hey, what do you do? Those weeks will happen, you know. I think what made me most upset is that, you know, sometimes in life you try to act like you're the smartest guy in the room, and then at the end of the day you look around and you're the dumbest guy in the room. Those
well.
Things, you know, like, I kind of went against conventional wisdom with all of them, and you know, conventional wisdom beat me down. So not since
an ill-fated summer vacation a couple of years back where you was PO.
I was gonna say things got so down in the dumps. It's funny you bring it up. I was watching Oz this week, so I mean, there you go. I'm still going with my instincts. I'm not coming off what I do. I really think the strategies just kind of backfired last week. I overlooked some obvious things like Scott Tolzien and the Jacksonville Jaguars and the Minnesota Vikings. So this week, like I said, I'm ready for a whole new week. We're sweeping it. I'm not hiding from anything. Let's get it going.
All right. Well, with that being said, we mentioned first that the teams on the bye week, Buffalo, Cincinnati, Philadelphia, and Seattle. As per always, this show is not generally up with any lead time, if much, before the Thursday night game. So always go check at the FDH Lounge on Twitter if you want to see what our pick is for the game. Last week it was a recommended play. This week, not so much. It's New Orleans at Atlanta. The Saints are laying 9 in this one, up from 7.5 at the open. It's, you know, you throw the records out the window, Kyle Ross, in a rivalry team like this, 8-2, 2-8. You would expect me to be all over the Falcons. I've been pro Falcons in my picks for 2 years now. Not this time. Not a short week. New Orleans.
Oh, goodness.
Yes, there's the danger of a look ahead to Seattle the week after with the Monday Nighter, but the Saints need this one too badly. They're going to come in. They're going to stay rolling. You would not expect this of me, but I'm going to say Saints to lay the nine.
Well, that's very interesting because, as you know, I have mocked the Atlanta Falcons for the better part of 2 years. I never thought they were as good as those records that they had, particularly last year. But a funny thing has happened in 2013 NFL, Rick Morris. The teams that I wasn't so hot on that other people may have been have sunk even worse than I thought they possibly could. Atlanta is chief among those teams. They had a lot of close wins at home over bad teams in the last couple of years. And basically any bit of luck, I've said this now for a couple of weeks, any bit of luck that they had during that run with Matty Ice and head coach Mike Smith has sort of just turned on itself this year. It is a horrible, horrible season. I mean, a case could clearly be made right now that the Atlanta Falcons are one of the four worst teams in the NFL after Mike Glennon. I don't think there were incompletion after the midway point of the second quarter last week. He lit this defense up, and now they have to face Drew Brees. But Rick Morris, God darn it, I've never really met a 9-point home underdog that I didn't like. The Saints, now remember, it's interesting. I love the Saints. You know, I saw this coming. Now, my season-long projections are still looking pretty good. As you know, I was all over the Saints. I don't think anyone liked them as much coming this year as me. And they've actually somewhat exceeded those expectations. You mentioned the possible look ahead to Seattle. I don't know if that's in there. I just think Atlanta, my God, show me something. I mean, they can't lose by double digits for a fifth straight week, can they? Throw it on the Twitter account. I'm recommending Atlanta, as ugly as it is. I'm going down with this ship, Rick Morris, okay? I mean, Atlanta, what have you done for me lately? Do something.
Well, you and I differed on Atlanta a couple weeks ago with another one of your favorites, Seattle.
Yeah, you were right there.
So, again, it's funny because you were higher on both Seattle and New Orleans than me, although I was pretty high on Seattle coming into this year. But you were high on them last year. You saw this first. It'd be very interesting to see how that goes.
Yeah, I was going to say, whoever would have thought in a million years, you know, even me, who, like you said, loves Seattle and New Orleans coming into the year, who in a million years thought Atlanta would be getting this many points at home? Unbelievable. Unfathomable.
It is one of those throw the record out the year. Yeah, you throw the record out the window. Arthur Blank is I think, smart enough that he has already indicated there will be no changes in the front office or coaching staff. It is what it is. The skill positions have been decimated by injuries this year. The defense was worse than most people thought. Maybe not you. You kind of saw it, that they were a little bit soft there. They'll tool up again for next year, and they'll be one of next year's great comeback stories. You're thinking that the comeback starts here, and it'll be interesting to see how that goes. The team you referenced that beat them last week kicks off our Sunday coverage. It's the 2-8 Buccaneers at the 6-4 Lions, 1 o'clock Eastern time at Ford Field on Fox. Tom Brenneman, Brian Billick, and the lovely tanned Laura Oakman on the call for this one. You've got Detroit laying 9 points, had been 10 at the open. And this is one where, again, you look at momentum. It's been going against the Falcons, as we referenced in the previous game here. It's been going with Tampa Bay, coming out pretty good in the last two games, getting off the season-long schneid on Monday night, following it up at Atlanta. I think they're going to have enough to keep it closer in this one here, and that's better than a slug like Greg Schiano really deserves. In my heart, I want to go against Tampa Bay so much because I just loathe what this dime store excuse for a coach is all about. But they have a little bit of momentum at the moment. You mentioned Glennon's passing work last week. The Lions giving up 283.8 yards per game in the air. I think Tampa Bay is going to just slide underneath this one. I'd say Tampa Bay getting the nine is my nod.
I have no interest in this game, as is typically the case when you have a large home favorite. I'll say this. Detroit, we talked about look ahead with New Orleans in the last game. Detroit may have the mother of all look ahead to the Thanksgiving Day game against Green Bay. Just a few days after. I mean, that is a colossal game in the NFC North that could really, you know, sink the Green Bay Packers 2013 season. Detroit off a bad loss last week at Pittsburgh. I think both you and I kind of saw it coming. You know, the Lions, you know, historically not a great road team, and they were coming off a road win going into Steel City, but no interest here in getting involved whatsoever. Detroit's the better team. I could see them bouncing back, certainly. I don't think Tampa Bay's winning the game straight up. And, you know, you chronicled the Schiano situation. I mean, it was only 3 weeks ago we thought this team had completely quit on the guy, so I'm not ready to fully back them yet either, despite the back-to-back win.
Yeah. Yeah, I again, you know, Schiano pretty much the worst, and he will be out on his arse at the end of the year here, if not sooner. But I think this week probably buys him at least another week or two.
Next no, up, I think at this point, I think he's getting the rest of the season. I see no reason why, unless if something just catastrophic happened, there's no reason to fire the guy at this point.
Yeah, when you've got a nationally televised game and fans are wearing hazmat suits in your own stadium to protest the guy and he has survived that, yeah, he probably will lurch to the end of the year before getting his well-deserved figurative hot slug to the head. Next up here, a game where it is almost impossible to believe there's only a combined 3 wins between these teams. You could see one of the teams being potentially winless, but we already talked about Atlanta being one of the biggest negative surprises of the season. The other one would be the team that was jockeying with them for the top of the power rankings just about a year ago, the Houston Texans, the 1-9 Jags at the 2-8 Texans. And this is a really, really, it's a strange one with the line here. Houston is laying 10 down from 11 at the outset. This has been a very weird year, as we have chronicled. And I have only had a couple of why ask why plays during the year. I don't think I've hit on any of them. I'm officially going against why ask why. I'm looking at this and I'm thinking, particularly Houston coming off a week where Case Keenum was inexplicably pulled, and maybe not so inexplicable when you consider that their head coach had a stroke recently. Not to get personal, but I can think of no other reason you pull him for Matt Schaub at this point. Houston, in my mind, shouldn't be laying 10 points to hardly anybody. And I would normally go against that and say lay the 10, but I'm not going to go against my instinct. I'm going with Jacksonville getting the 10 at Houston.
The Houston Texans are officially a disaster. They're one of the four worst teams. I mean, we talked about Atlanta maybe being one of the four worst teams. Houston is in that group, too. Do you realize that this team is two big second-half rallies away from being 0-10?
Well, I mean, and they started with those 2 wins. Yeah, they started with the two.
Yeah,
they weren't a disaster in September.
Yeah, I mean, the first 2 weeks, they were down huge against San Diego in the late Monday night game in week one. I fell asleep thinking, wow, that was a horrible way to open the season for Houston. Woke up on day one, and then the next week, they rallied back from, I think, double digits. They were certainly down by at least a touchdown against Tennessee. It's going to be real interesting with Kubiak to see if he can survive this. He, you know, not to be mean-spirited, which is something I've been accused of being in the past, certainly. Greg Schiano should not survive this season. Or Greg Schiano. Well, no, he shouldn't either. But neither should Gary Kubiak, for that matter. I've got terrible coaches on my brain here. The move last week was a guy desperate for wins this season, trying to save his job. There's just no way. This franchise has got to move on with a different quarterback and a different coach. The home crowd turned on him last week. And you said it best. I mean, Houston shouldn't be laying this many points against anyone right now. I mean, I wouldn't bet that. I wouldn't lay that number with your money. At the same time, Jacksonville has just spurned me too many times. I can't recommend them either. So,
okay,
you know, kind of a similar price range as that Detroit Tampa game, and I have a similar level of interest in betting this one, which is to say nil.
Okay, yeah, I can't believe you at all. In looking at that, you got to think Houston, that is going to be a prime job if it comes open in the offseason. You don't see somebody coming into a job like that.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't know if I mentioned this on the show previously. If I did, feel free to stop me, but I mentioned to a buddy, it was actually the afternoon of the where, you know, Kubiak unfortunately suffered a stroke. I could see them possibly going after Kevin Sumlin of Texas A&M, obviously in-state there, and then drafting Johnny Manziel as quarterback.
That would be an interesting combination, to be sure. We'll have to stay tuned on that one. A big AFC West battle, what has been arguably the best division in the AFC thus far. Nance and Sims, the A-team, as a matter of fact, for CBS are going to be on this one. It's the 4-6 Chargers at the 9-1 Chiefs, coming off their first loss of the season. Kansas City laying 5 in this one, and it's been a pretty steady 5 throughout the course of the week. So you've got a little bit of a come down for the Chiefs coming off of last week. And interestingly enough, Denver the week after, thanks to the fluke of the schedule makers here twice in 3 weeks. This is one that the Chargers really need. In the AFC, yeah. Which, oh, by the way, the fluke of early season is behind us. The AFC is yeah. now behind the NFC, decidedly, yeah. in my power rankings and I think in terms of most people's. The Chargers remain in the periphery of the race, but I think it ends here. I think this is a get-well
wow.
game for Kansas City. I think they come off of it. I just think it's a good matchup for them. I think they're going to be able to exploit that. Chargers off the bye, that makes it a little – no, they're not off the bye. I'm sorry, I misspoke there. But coming in, that tough loss to Miami, I don't
yeah.
think it gets much better for them traveling again this week at Kansas City. I'd say Kansas City laying the 5.
Yeah, the Chargers wish they were coming off a bye because then they wouldn't
yeah.
have suffered that horrible loss to Miami last week, which really put them behind the 8-ball. When it comes to the playoff picture, you talk about the AFC being behind the NFC. Obviously, a lot of that has to do with the focus on who in the world is going to be that 6th seed in the AFC.
Yes.
A lot of talk that 8-8 will probably get it. You and I said that would probably be the case before the year. We did a midseason show where I proclaimed the San Diego Chargers to be my pick to get. I kind of revised it with the fall of I took Pittsburgh, obviously, out. And I put San Diego in, revised my playoff projections from before the year. And San Diego, pardon me, has rewarded me by promptly going 0-3 since that time. Despite this, I could make a case of all those teams contending for the 6th seed, your Jets, even the Dolphins who beat them last week, the Ravens, the Steelers, the Browns, all these, the Titans, all these teams. I could make a case of the Chargers out of all those teams. I still like them best, Ricky. They haven't really played an awful game. You know, they haven't won. You know, they've obviously lost more than they won. Last week was a very bad loss. You know, Mike McCoy had some questionable coaching decisions down the stretch. But you know what, Rick Morris? My second recommended play this week, take the Chargers plus the points. I think this is a bad spot for Kansas City right in the middle of a Denver sandwich. We all know that they're not as good as their record. I think San Diego's a little better than their record. I wouldn't be shocked to see the Chargers go into Arrowhead and kind of salvage their season.
That's an interesting combination. That is definitely true. If somebody's better than their record, somebody else is worse than their record. We'll have to see how that one goes. A team that definitely looks like they're worse than their record at the moment, notwithstanding having beaten San Diego last week, the 5-5 Dolphins. They're at home against the 7-3 Panthers. And Carolina is laying 4 on the road in this game, had been 3.5. This just comes down to a lot of times you get a gut feeling on a game like this one. And it seems to me that when a team gets on, I'm going to say kind of an inexplicable roll like the Panthers. And I'm going to say inexplicable just because of the number of good teams that they've beaten as they've gone along here. I think a lot of people thought it would end against San Francisco. Others thought it might end against New England. They're coming off of that game, which was one that they quite frankly deserved to lose when you look at that call at the end there. A lot of times a streak ends with a game where you just don't think it'll happen on paper. And they got Tampa Bay the week after. I think we can agree it definitely won't happen there. They got New Orleans the week after. So they're either going to take the streak into New Orleans or it's going to end here. I say take Miami in the 4. I just have a feeling this will be one of these weird, spooky kind of games. Miami might just be the team to trip up Carolina. Maybe they don't take them seriously enough. I don't know, but that's my gut feeling.
Love it. I agree with you, and Miami's a recommended play for me.
Okay.
Carolina's won and covered 6 in a row. Short week. You referenced the back-to-back impressive wins they're off of against the 49ers and the Patriots. I didn't think the call, I mean, you know, there's a lot of things the Patriots could have done in the previous 59-plus minutes. that would have allowed them not to be in that position, such as Stephen Ridley fumbling early in the game. I got to say this. Even if Carolina does lose this game, that does not diminish what they've done. Rick Morris,
right.
We marveled a couple weeks ago, I remember, when I sent you over the Vegas rankings. And remember the first thing that jumped out at you, and I even asked you about it, I knew because I figured it might jump out at you, was that the time the Panthers were ranked eighth. And this is kind of before they really started going, too.
This was very early in that streak. This was, I mean,
yeah.
They hadn't beaten anybody early in that streak.
You want to know something that shocks you? I'm going to just knock your socks off right now. In my power rankings, I have Carolina third right now overall.
Wow. Okay. I finally moved them out of my top tier.
All right. This is a very, very good team. But, look, it's a combination short week, road favorite. I just think they get tripped up here. And Miami, one could argue that this game is more important to them because a win here would put them at 6-5 and then in the driver's seat for that aforementioned sixth seed in the AFC. Carolina, they're going to go to the playoffs regardless, I think, at this point.
Yep.
And, you know, their chances of winning the NFC South hinge on the two games they still have remaining with the Saints, which I believe will likely be split, home team winning both, and the Panthers end up as the wild card. But this is a very good team that I think come playoff time can make some noise and pull an upset. But for this week, I agree with you. Miami Dolphins recommended play, take the points.
I agree with everything you just said there. And, yeah, by the way, the FDH Lounge Power Rankings, you can always find them in the same place as this show, the FDH Lounge Multimedia Magazine. The FDH Lounge.
Where do you have the Panthers? Where do you have the Panthers? Sorry about
Panthers
that.
Panthers right
that
now. No problem. Off the top of my head, I believe I have them eighth. But I do have them on the top tier. I did not move them ahead of New England on general principle because technically they beat New England, technically. But, they beat New England, much in the manner of some of Randy Orton's recent
They held
victory,
it tight.
Let's just say that.
Yeah, I was going to say that. They held the tights, right?
They did. They put their feet on the ropes for good measure.
They did their feet on the ropes. Yeah, there you go. Yeah, there they go.
A little shout out there. Hopefully the little guy is catching that. Next up, it's a battle between two cities that quite frankly means a lot more in baseball than it does in football. It's the 6-4 Bears at the 4-6 Rams. Four-time lounge guest Kenny Albert on the call on this one here, along with Daryl Johnston and Tony Siragusa. This is a strange one here, and when you look at the line, it opened at a pick. It is up to St. Louis -1. And, again, you look at momentum. We talked about this previously. That can be kind of a nebulous thing. Bears coming off a big win. The Rams coming off of their biggest win in maybe the last couple of seasons. Maybe a little bit of a kind of a fluky blowout against Indianapolis when the Colts were kind of looking ahead a little bit. Then they go on a bye. I think it's unfortunate for them. I think that the momentum of that victory may have dissipated. Chicago comes in with theirs. Yes, they benefited from the weather last week, and that tornado warning or whatever it was is probably the best thing that could have happened to them. Not to minimize it, but quite frankly, that's true because of how they were looking before and afterwards. This is a must-win game for the Bears to stay in the thick of it. I think that ship has already sailed for the Rams, although I picked them before the season to make the playoffs. The final nail in their coffin comes this week. I say take Chicago and the one on the road.
You know, I say forget about momentum. I just think the Bears are better than the Rams. Sort of a lot. And here's a dirty little secret going around the Windy City right now. There has been no drop-off in their level of play since going from Jay Cutler to Josh McCown at quarterback.
Yes.
Jay Cutler's career in Chicago could be in trouble, or he's just not going to get the contract he wants because his valuability to this team and this offense kind of being minimized over the last month.
Right.
You reference how the Bears need this one more. They do. The NFC North is only going to, with Carolina rising like a phoenix, in the last couple weeks, you got to figure they're in the playoffs. The NFC North's only going to send one team to the postseason. Bears have to have this game. Rams really in trouble in the tough NFC West. I mean, they're in last, and I don't see any way that they get in the playoff picture. You talk about the fluky nature of that blowout of the Colts. I mean, this was a team that was going kind of nowhere fast before that. So I like the Bears.
Right.
That's a recommended play for me.
Okay, yeah. I agree with the reasoning on a lot of what you just said there. That will be very, very interesting to see because, yeah, that is going to have a lot to do with what happens with both teams over the remainder of the season and how their fortunes go. Up next, the Tennessee Titans will try to avenge their loss in the 2000 AFC Championship game as they play the – or is it –
No, it was 2002.
That's right.
That was the year the great Rich Gannon was the NFL MVP.
That's true. Who was on the call along with Marv Albert, as great as Rich Gannon was that year at quarterback, I just want to say, is every bit the opposite in the booth. The guy just makes me cringe, and unfortunately he's on like every other Cleveland Browns game, so I'm stuck with him a lot. Marv Albert is great. Rich Gannon is the drizzle and shiznits as an announcer. I just have to say that in all accuracy. Getting back to the game, oh, by the way, Oakland is laying 1.5. They open as a pick in this one. Talk about momentum. That's the entire story of it to me. Tennessee right now circling the drain. By the end of the year, they're going to look like – this is sort of the Dennis Green special. They're going to look like who we thought they were by the time this season is done because they're heading straight down the hole. The Raiders, I can't believe I'm saying this, are going to be 5-6 after this one. But, hey, when they go in there with some spare parts and end up cleaning up at Houston last week, that just goes to show you, even if Pryor's not at 100%, even if McFadden's not at 100%, apparently it doesn't matter. The Raiders at home in the black hole this week, laying to 1.5, I like them.
I really left the door open with that Rich Gannon, didn't I?
You kicked
that thing wide open. Just like I wanted, okay. Hashtag yeah. Magic Johnson tweet, okay? The winner of this game is going to be 5-6. And, I mean, who would have ever thought either of these two? It's funny. Remember I said Oakland, we were both missed. I said I didn't know how they were going to do it, but Oakland would get to like 5 wins this year.
Yeah.
Because everyone, they were sort of the presumed worst team in the league. Well, you know what?
I said that.
It's gonna have to happen some other week. The Raiders never win back-to-back games, like, ever. And they usually follow up a win with not only a loss, but, like, just an awful performance. I'm taking Tennessee here. I think they're off the long way. I know the Thursday night trend has kind of slowed down a little bit. What I mean by that is the teams coming off the Thursday night game with extra time to prepare. They had started out the season like gangbusters, covering 8 of the first 10 of that opportunity. They've kind of slowed down, truth be told. Ever since then, kind of playing around 50% against the spread. But I think Tennessee kind of gets back on the horse, at least for 1 week. Their season will come to an end here throughout the remainder of this road trip. This is the first of 3 road games for them. Their next two at Indy, at Denver. You have to figure those will be losses. I mean, their last 2 weeks, they've lost by a combined 4 points. So the Raiders aren't any good. Matt McGloin, how is this guy starting in the NFL?
The Raiders did get blown out after their last 3 wins earlier in the season. Having said that, their next games were against Denver, against Kansas City, and against Philadelphia. So this is a little bit different in terms of the caliber of competition coming off of a win.
Oh, sure.
Just going to point that out.
Matt McGloin?
I hear
you. I was talking to a Penn State fan last Sunday,
yeah.
As a matter of fact. And she says, it was actually a female. This was, you know, not to be sexist or anything. This was probably as good of a point as a female football fan's ever made. She's like, I think he was only drafted because Bill O'Brien was the coach last year.
Maybe. That's,
you know,
entirely
and
possible.
I was like, you know, I can't disagree with that reasoning. I thought that was a very insightful point.
That is entirely possible. Still 7 games to go in our remaining time here. Next up, it's Indianapolis at Arizona, the 7-3 Colts at the 6-4 Cards. Hard to believe CBS is only putting Eagle and Fouts on this game here, because at least on paper, this is clearly one of the best games of the week. Arizona laying 2.5. It opened as a pick. I really struggled with this one back and forth. I just think Arizona, as much as I thought they were due to look good on the road last week, which they did against Jacksonville, they've been so superhuman at home, and I just think they're due to drop one, and who better than the Colts to do that against? So I'm thinking that the Colts end up picking this one up. I like them getting the 1.5 on the road.
whenever I hear something like seven games still to go, that's code word for Kyle. Shut up a little bit here, okay?
No. We got to. I got to do that also. Me too.
I love it. So I'm going to do what Dan Fouts needs to do more often and shut up. I hate this game. I have no opinion on it whatsoever. As soon as I saw the line, I said, I don't have a damn clue about this game. Pass. Both these teams have overachieved my expectations.
All right, that's actually a great transitional point for this next one here, because I told you off air, I had no idea going back and forth here. I got to pick somebody, so I will. The 5-5 Cowboys at the 4-6 Giants. Fox has the A team on this one. Buck Aikman and the delicious Pam Oliver. The Giants laying 2.5 at home, had been 1 at the open. I went back and forth on this one so much. With a little bit of a revitalized running game for the Giants recently, I'm going with them there because I do think they're going to be able to gash the Cowboys 126.8 yards per game given up on the ground. It's a coin flip to me, but I'll take the Giants.
You know, I at first did not like this game at all. Like I think a lot of people, they look at this game and see the Giants with all this quote-unquote momentum you've been referencing a lot in this show.
Yes.
I don't really believe in that, though. The Giants, you know why they're 4-6 after starting 0-6?
Why?
Because they've played in the last four games Josh Freeman, Matt Barkley, Matt McGloin, and Scott Tolzien. That's why they've won four games in a row.
Look, okay.
You can hate on Tony Romo all you want. First of all, he's a fine human being. And number two, he's a fine NFL quarterback. He's on the outskirts of the top 10. I've been saying that now for 2 years. I think if Dallas loses this game, this is going to be one of those things where, oh, boy, here we go. We're going to have to hear about Jerry Jones. What's he going to do next? I don't think that happens. Now, if you remember a few weeks ago, a team that's on a bye this week, Philadelphia, I said that they would creep back into this race. Let's tip our cap to Chip Kelly. Let's tip our cap to progressive-minded people. Like Chip Kelly, for that matter, okay? It's nice to see, okay, that his offense is working in the NFL. If everyone wanted to bury it so quickly, okay, even though he's got Nick Foles as his quarterback, who's not a long-term answer. I'm taking Dallas in the points. Better team and the points. Dallas off a bye. I think they find a way to get it done.
All right, there's another pick for you. We go to the Sunday nighter. It's always looming. You never know when it's going to be the last Peyton Manning, Tom Brady matchup. Probably not, but it always could be. At the 9-1 Broncos at the 7-3 Pats, New England with their second consecutive nationally televised game. In this
Denver.
One, Denver laying. Yeah, Denver's laying 2.5 on the road here, which is very interesting. I'm looking at this here. You know what? The Patriots, and as much as I loathe Bozo, Choke, and company. You know what? They're two bad officiating calls from being 9-1 themselves. And I just look at this here. I look at them getting points at home on a Sunday night. I guess it's kind of a gut feeling coming off of the gut punch that they had with Carolina here. Give me the Pats. Give me the 2.5. That's my pick.
Love you. Love where your head's at. And I'd love to join you, but I don't really like playing against them. It's hazardous to your health. It's just... I really, really wanted to take New England here. I swapped them out at the last minute for Dallas with this week. I like New England. I won't recommend it. Belichick is a home dog. I mean, right there, I'm immediately interested. But, man, is Denver good. So I can't go against them, despite the fact that they're in the Kansas City sandwich here. But I don't think they're looking as forward to the rematch as much as the Chiefs will be. So I'm not going to recommend the Pats, even though I probably should. I'll say this. New England's getting healthy, though, and they're going to be the number two seed. They're still going to be the number two seed even if they lose this game.
Yeah, and I think that may very well be true. So we could be shaping up for a rematch in the AFC Championship game, which would be epic. We were expecting it last year. It didn't come to pass. Could happen this year. Next up, it's the Monday Nighter. This would have been a great battle at any point in time in the mid-1980s. Today, not so much. It's the 6-4 49ers at the 3-7 Redskins. San Francisco's laying 5 in this one, up from 4.5 at the open. We talked before about teams that are better than their record. the 49ers are inexplicably, they're closer to the playoff bubble than they are the Seattle Seahawks at this point in time.
Yeah.
I certainly don't expect that to last. I don't think they're in any jeopardy. I don't think most people consider them to be in any playoff jeopardy at the moment. They're going to roll. I like the 49ers to get off to Schneid here. Two tough losses in a row, but it ends right here. 49ers roll Monday night at Washington.
Road favorite Ricky strikes again.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what, of all the home dogs this week, I believe this is the fourth. This is the one I like the least, Washington. Interesting, at the outset of the show, we talked about another home dog, Atlanta, as an example of one of those teams who I liked a lot less than most people, and they've actually regressed even further than I thought. Put the Redskins in that category, too. I remember both you and I were pretty anti-Redskins compared to most before the year. I think we both had them kind of like 6-10, 7-9. We saw a clear regression from them.
Yes.
But I'm staying away just because who's not going to take the 49ers in this game? And when you have that with a road favorite, that scares the hell out of me. I agree with everything you said. It was very astute about how the 49ers, are inexplicably closer to the playoff bubble than they are the Seahawks. I still think they're making the playoffs. I still think they're one of the six best teams in the league, quite frankly. But I do not want to lay 5 points with them on the road, so I'm passing Monday night.
Okay. All right. We come now to my big three picks for the week, hoping to keep my momentum up, keeping the momentum from the 2-0-1 week last week. Next up, it is the New York Jets at Baltimore, 5-5 Jets at the 4-6 Ravens. Baltimore is laying 4, up from 3.5 in this one. You know, this has been a little bit of a recurring motif on the show this week. Better than the record, worse than the record. Baltimore, maybe not much better than 4-6, but at least a game, maybe. I think we would kind of agree on that. They're a middling team, not even really a very good team, but they're a middling team. The Jets are 5-5
again. No, they're not very good.
Again.
I don't know if I agree with you on that. I don't know if they are better than their record. I've watched this team play.
Right.
They are not good. They are not very good.
Do you agree with me the Jets are worse than their record after last
week?
Okay.
Yes.
And you
I mean,
both
their point differential.
On that one.
Yeah, their point differential is horrible, the Jets.
It got a lot worse last week. Yeah, I just think the line is this close only because the Jets are a little bit inflated at this point. I like Baltimore to cover the 4. And, again, if I were to say it's not even my most nauseating pick of the week, that's a little bit of foreshadowing there. But I think the Ravens can cover the 4 against the Jets in this one. Geno Smith is not going to get it done in Baltimore.
New York Jets have a point differential this year of minus 85.
Yeah.
That is 33 points worse than Oakland.
Ooh.
That is worse than Atlanta. That is worse than Minnesota. That is worse than every team in the league besides Jacksonville, who is a whopping minus 189, thank you very much.
Yeah.
I'm just scared that they keep it within a field goal. I don't like, as much as I don't like the Jets, as I kind of just told you there a minute ago, I don't like Baltimore either. I know that whoever wins this game is going to get the, oh, this team's going to make the playoffs, circle the wagons kind of treatment. I don't see it from either team. You know, a lot of people say, oh, I'll give the ball to Ray Rice more. They give the ball to Ray Rice every time they do it and do anything with it. And Geno Smith has been a disaster on the road. The point differential, I can't endorse them. Funny, the Jets have alternated wins and losses through the first 10 weeks. I think I saw a stat where this is like the longest stretch ever to open a season doing that. So they're actually due for a win here. I think that comes to an end. But, again, I see a very tight game here. I see a very tight game, and I'm laying off.
Just like my aforementioned example on the show when Bestie and I were trying to hit rotating red, black at the roulette table. That's what the Jets have done through 10 weeks here.
Yeah.
Shout out to Bestie if he's listening right now. Which, speaking of which, dude is a Steeler fan. I had said that this is not even my most nauseating pick of the week, going with Baltimore is one of my big three. We skip ahead to the Steelers in this one, the 4-6 Steelers at the 4-6 Browns, the Joe Turkey Jones Bowl. The Browns are laying 2.5 in this one, up from 1. You talk about momentum, and again, it's ships crossing in the night. It is kind of funny to think back earlier in the season, all the Browns fans, and I saw a lot of it on Facebook, a lot of the Facebook GMs who want to strip me of my Browns fan status right now, who were laughing at the Steelers, and I was laughing at them as well. And, yeah, by the time they meet for the first time, it's the Steelers with all the momentum here. Jason Campbell last week quite possibly exposed, but you're beginning to see a little bit of, again, with no running game whatsoever, and boy, could the Browns use Bobby Rainey right now, much less Trent Richardson. Again, I think they're just going to be sitting ducks for Pittsburgh with that offense starting to get exposed at this point. I hate to say it, but I'll take the Squealers getting the 2.5.
Wow, I'll be honest with you. My initial lean was to your Cleveland Browns here. But then, you know, I kind of looked at everyone's power ratings, including my own, most importantly, and I have Pittsburgh higher.
Yeah, me too.
The line is about right, I think. You know, first of all, no one needs Trent Richardson, okay? Just ask the Indianapolis Colts. And Bobby Rainey, I think, you know, he'll be certainly a very small footnote in Tampa Bay Buccaneers lore moving forward. I'm laying off this game. Like I said, when, you know, you talk about the two ships crossing the night, I've got kind of two viewpoints crossing in the night. Initially, like Cleveland. Now I kind of like Pittsburgh more. That equals lay off to me. I had this one circled as a win for the Browns before the year, and quite frankly had it circled as a win, you know, even when they were losing last week. Last week was a real weird game. Their defense probably played as well as any defense that's allowed 41 points in the history of the NFL.
Yeah, and the only defense at this point in time not to have allowed a 100-yard rushing effort or a 300-yard passing effort, in all likelihood they carry that streak into Week 13, but I don't think Pittsburgh is going to need either necessarily to get this one done. Hope I am wrong. If I ever root against myself on a big three play, it would be here. We come now to my
Losers
Dodgers
out,
star.
By the way.
These are what?
I was going to say the loser of that game is done for the year. The
Absolutely,
winner is
they are.
Certainly alive.
Yeah.
The winner is certainly alive in the wild.
Yeah, that is definitely true. My 1,000-star gold-plated lock of the millennium for NFL Week 12. Such locks are 3-7-1 through the course of the season. And it is the 2-8 Vikings at the 5-5 Packers. Green Bay laying 4.5 in this one, down from 5. I understand that everybody is really down on the Packers right now because of Tolzien at quarterback. I understand that. I get that. This has the makings of a get-well game, if ever there was one. Yeah, they may be looking ahead a little bit to the Lions, but they can't afford to look ahead, and I think they know that coming off of their last couple of efforts here. A get-well effort for the Packers to carry into Thanksgiving Day. Packers laying only 4.5 at home. They're going to roll. Book it. Take the Packers.
Vic Morris, I got myself in a lot of trouble taking Scott Tolzien, and he was getting points last week. I understand where you're coming from. I don't necessarily disagree. But here's the problem. I think you are still kind of hooked on the fact Green Bay before what they were before the Rodgers. Oh, it's Green Bay. Man, you know, correct me if I'm wrong. Maybe I'm just way off here. I don't want to, you know, tell you what you're thinking. But I think, you know, if you're taking Green Bay here, you're sort of globally, looking at how the Packers were before this season. Oh, the Packers, they can't fall below 500. Oh, the Packers, they can't fall out of the race. Oh, the Packers, you know, they'll still make the playoffs. I got to be honest with you. Green Bay's not going to make the playoffs this year. They will be one of the better teams in recent memory to be left home for the postseason. I do believe. I am passing on this game because the Minnesota Vikings are terrible. So,
all right, I can understand
that. Yeah, I mean, it's the same I would love to see Green Bay win here, Ricky. I'll tell you why. I made a drunken bet over the summer at a wedding with a guy from Minnesota, a friend from Minnesota, when I get into this thing late in the shank of the evening, trademark Mean Gene Okerlund, where I just want to, like, insult some guy's team, And I just like kept insulting the Vikings. And I said, you know, like $50 right now, the Vikings come in last place. And he got really just incredulous. And
yeah.
So if the Packers win here, I'm pretty much sitting pretty.
As we bring the show to a close, we would like to extend our deepest gratitude to NBC, CBS, ABC, Fox, all Clear Channel affiliates, TNT, TBS, USA, UPN, Deadspin.com, YouTube.com, YTMND.com, MySpace.com, various blogs, Fox News, CNN, CNBC, MSNBC, IamBored.com, Billboard.com, Google.com, ESPN, ESPN2, ESPN News, ESPN Classic, NBA TV, NFL Network, Sports Time Ohio, Athlon Magazine, Comedy Central, Cartoon Network, The Boomerang Channel, QVC, BET, The Spice Channel, Steno Notebooks, Manwich, Papermate Office Supplies, Waitresses, Strippers, Bartenders, Garbage Men, Janitors, Microwave Popcorn, The Writers of The Office, Scrubs, Entourage, My Name is Earl, Oz, Metalocalypse, and The Boondocks, Awkwafina, and The Periodic Table of Elements.